Yeah, no, her flight's been canceled. She actually flew into the Triad yesterday, and she flew back and to Newark. She flew from Newark to the Greensboro and Greensboro back last night, yesterday, and then slept over in Newark last night, and then she flew to Knoxville this morning, and she's driving home now. Girl gets around. All right, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Hallelujah.
Shabbat Shalom.
Welcome to our Yehuda Messianic Shabbat. Congregation, Lion of Judah. I'm Rabbi Joe, and we're about to get underway here. Sorry for the delay. storm delay. How's that one? Storm delay. But storm is coming, but it hasn't really hit here too bad. You know, it's just seeing the clouds come through here in Tennessee. And northeast Tennessee, southwest Virginia, starting to see the clouds build up, but the storm hasn't hit. But let's pray for the service. Let's pray for the folks in the storm, Lord. Father, we just come before you and we lift up our friends. We lift up your people in the eye of the storm, Lord, and in the middle of the mess there in eastern North Carolina. And South Carolina, Lord, and Southern Virginia, we just pray for them, Lord. We lift them up to you. We pray, thank you that the casualties have been low, and we're sorry for the people who did get killed in the storm. But we thank you, Lord, that it wasn't worse than it could have been. And we just pray, thank you, Lord, for the timely rescue of people in flooded cities like Moorhead City and New Bern, and we just pray for our friends. Pray for Ellen Day, pray for Joseph Zunsich, pray for Marty Shilsky and Beth Simcha, and pray for Heinz and Cecilia and their congregation in Melech Ha'olam in Myrtle Beach. We pray for them today. We pray for our friends Buzz and Linda down in Myrtle Beach, for their house, that everything is safe and well, and everything is good and not flooded. We pray in the name of Yeshua. Okay, let's get started here. Shabbat Shalom. Hope you're doing well today. If we don't start playing it soon, I'm going to start singing "Oh Happy Day," and you don't want to hear that because I don't know it. Oh Happy Day. Good morning, Deborah. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ravi Simcha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ravi Simcha, Ravi Simcha, Shabbat Menucha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ravi Simcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha. This day for Israel, this day for Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, filled with light and joy. love is rest. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of his rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You had it coming to you. The blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Okay. Matohu Lecha Yaakov Mishkenotecha Yisrael. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel. V'ani beruch hasdecha, avo beitecha, eshtachaveh echo, kadshecha. The Yiratecha, and in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will fear thy holiness, O Lord.
Love the house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. We're going to do the Vishamru on page 45. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorot hambarit olam. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorot hambarit olam. B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, od hili olam. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasot et ha-shabbat ledorotam b'rit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, shemayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam b'rit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, shemayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam b'rit olam.
The children of Israel. Sorry.
It's okay. Here you go.
Let me go ahead and read. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Your monitors aren't loud enough up here. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Ooh, let me... Here we go. Hallelujah. Anthony, would you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Would you pray for the Messianic community and for our congregation? And
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, your Shabbat, Lord, as we're rapidly approaching Yom Kippur and Sukkot, Lord. We pray for all the land of Israel, Lord, that praise and worship will once again flow from the Temple Mount, Lord, and your light will shine among your people and all peoples of the world, Lord. We pray for all the people in Israel, Lord, that they will recognize Yeshua as their Jewish Messiah, Lord. And that day is coming when they will see him in all his full glory, Lord. We just pray for your anointing upon the land, your hand of protection. We pray that the United States will continue, as we just signed a major bill to support Israel, that we will increase that, and as years come, we will always financially and spiritually and militarily support the land of Israel and the Jewish nation, Lord, because that it's a covenant given by God to the Jewish people, and it cannot be revoked because God has spoken that, and God's word cannot be changed because God does not change his word. Lord, we pray for all the Messianic communities around the world today, Lord, those that are in peril along the coast, Lord. We pray that their property and their meeting places will not be damaged, Lord, and that they will all be safe, Lord. We pray for all the congregations. We pray for the leadership, Lord. We ask that you anoint them and bless them today, Lord, as they bring your word on Shabbat today, Lord. We ask you to bless our congregation, Lord, as we're preparing for an unbelievable event, Lord, of Sukkot. We ask that you bless us, especially this year, Lord, that upon that day that your anointing will flow, and truly it will be a glimpse of the Messianic era, Lord, as we meet with Gentile folks from all around the area, Lord, and with New Life Church, Lord, that will be a great event, Lord, that people will truly get a glimpse of what the reign of Yeshua will be like. It'll be like that meeting that we're going to have, Lord. So we ask today, Lord, that you bless us. Bless Rabbi Joseph as he brings your teaching this morning to us, Lord. We pray for everyone that's in our congregation today, all those that live stream with us each week, Lord. We pray that you will bless them and protect them if they're in the areas that are being flooded by the hurricane, Lord. We ask that today will be a special day, Lord, that we can rest and worship in you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do you have manavu? Do you have anything? Okay, let's do the servant of the Lord, Anthony.
Okay, and now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
All right. Please rise for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha v'hayu ha'divarim ha'ele asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinata ham levanecha v'dibarta baham v'shivtecha v'veitecha u'v'lechtecha v'aderech uveshachpecha, uvekumecha, ukeshartam, liot al yadecha, behayulatotafot beinecha, uchetavtam, al mizuzot beitecha, uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Okay. All right, Mi Chamocha. Mi Chamocha Be'elim Adonai. Mi Chamocha Nedar Bakodesh Norat Hilot O Sefele O Sefele. Who is like thee, O Lord among the gods? Who is like thee, Lord? There is none else. You are awesome in praise, doing wonders, O Lord, doing wonders, O answer to that is Ein Kamocha Ba'elim Adonai Ve'ein Kemasecha Malchutcha Malchut Kol Olamim U'Memsheltecha V'Chol Dor V'Dor Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Imlok Le'olam Va'ed Adonai Oz Le'amo Yitain Adonai
V'Rech Et Amo V'Shalom.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion
is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength to his people.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to ask William if he would come and hold the Torah, and Anthony if you would open the ark. Okay. Can you turn the volume on that up a little bit? So, 'cause we can't hear those songs when you play them. We can't hear them at all. Praise the Lord. You know, if you can worship God and stop thinking about your own little pity party problems and look up to God and stop looking around you and worship Him, amazing things will happen in your life. I can guarantee that. If you can stop feeling sorry for yourself and having little pity parties and being bored and all that, just worship the Lord and look to Him. Don't look to me. Don't look to Anthony. Don't look to Bill. Don't look to Carol. You know, just look to God. You will see amazing things happen, and you will show yourself to be. God promotes people who demonstrate ability and capability and faithfulness. God promotes people. Let's all say that. God promotes people who demonstrate faithfulness. Ability, and consistency.
Consistency.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's who He promotes. Hallelujah. So people who do that, who you know, you see a need, you see a spill, pick up a broom. You see a table that needs wiping, wipe the table. You want to come up here and you want to do service up here, you demonstrate faithfulness in something, dance, do something out there, and you may get called up here. Amen? That's how it works. It's not me. I don't promote people. I don't say, well, yeah, you can come on up here and do this. God does that. God gives me the instructions who to bring up and who not to, you know. And there's a reason for it. And the reason is in your heart. So, all right, let's continue. What's next, folks? I'm sorry?
Vayihi so aron vayomer Moshe kun ra Adonai v'yafutzu oyvecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion teitze Torah ki mitzion teitze Torah u'devar Adonai v'yerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah. Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah. Le'amo Yisrael, B'kdushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be He who in His holiness gave the Torah to His people Israel. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yamod Asher ben Zedekiah Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavorach Baruch Adonai Hamavorach Yolam Vaed Baruch Adonai Amroch Yolam Vaed, Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim, Ve'natan Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Ata Adonai, Noten HaTorah, Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are You, O Lord our God, Ruler of the Universe.
Who's chosen us from all peoples and given us His Torah.
Blessed are You, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Okay, today's Torah portion is from Deuteronomy chapter 38. And it's Vayelecha. It means He went. This Shabbat today is referred to as Shabbat Shavua, which means to return. It's the Shabbat between
Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur. That happens every year, same time. It's natural. Today's Torah portion is Moses is still speaking. It's his final attempt to address the Jewish nation. And he says, you know, it's natural for us to overlook our own faults. You know, even if we do acknowledge them, and I find this true in myself, we attempt to maybe rationalize them. And it's easier to see faults in other people than it is to see our own. You know, Deuteronomy 31 says, God is not, the Israelites were saying, God is not among us that has caused the evils. Because Moses has been telling the Israelites what is going to befall them if they leave the teachings and instructions of God. We are called today to encourage others and not just to focus upon their faults. But we should praise and encourage them and be an encouragement to other people to help themselves get through the things of life and encourage them. You know, within the Torah portion there, if you read it, you'll see that Moses has finished writing the final words on the Torah. And the Levites have been commanded by God through Moses to place that Torah scroll within the Ark of the Covenant. And if you know a lot about the Ark of the Covenant, you know Aaron's staff was put in there. I believe an omer of manna was put in there. And the two tablets of the Ten Commandments that Moses wrote were put in there, along with this final Torah that Moses finished just before he passes. And, you know, he explained, as he was talking with them, he explained to them on that day the mitzvah of the hakel, which is the mitzvah of the gathering. And that is surrounded around the Feast of Sukkot, the hakel would have occurred within the Shemitah cycle, which would have been the first year of the Shemitah cycle, which is a seven-year cycle. In the seventh year, you know, the land would lay dormant. But in the first year of the cycle of the Shemitah, all Israel would gather for a reading of the Torah. And they would do that every 7 years on the first year of the Shemitah cycle at Sukkot. They would gather for the reading of the Torah. And if you're familiar with the Messianic reign of Yeshua, you will see that when Moses is speaking that, I believe he's referring to the Messianic reign of Yeshua in Jerusalem, because he says, I will meet in Jerusalem and the Torah will be read. And I believe he was addressing the fact that the Messianic reign of Yeshua, that's what will happen. That's what Sukkot is talking about, the ingathering of all peoples from all nations to be in Jerusalem to worship. You know, this parasha concludes with the prediction by Moses that Israel would eventually turn away from God. And when they turn away from God, Moses says God will hide his face. But Moses also tells them that the words of the Torah will not be forgotten by the descendants of those people. And that extends to the descendants today. The words of the Torah will not be forgotten. God promised that. You see, God's instructions within the Torah to us are all eternal, and they, again, God's word is unchangeable. If people alter God's word, but God's word does not change. We change it, which is a fallacy, but God's word does not change. He does not change what he has spoken. God wants us to live our lives as he has given us instructions. That was one of our purposes of life, is to live according to his plan for us. You see, Moses did not have anything left unfinished in his life. When he finished writing the last Hebrew word in the Torah, his life was finished. His life was fulfilled. He did not leave any unfinished business, because the Torah was the final part of his life. The final part of his existence was to finish putting the last words in the Torah. You see, Sukkot is the Feast of the Ingathering. We mentioned that earlier, but I think this year we have an opportunity for an unbelievable Feast of Sukkot down at New Life. I think we're going to see people come from all places to that, and it's going to be a true glimpse of the Messianic reign. I don't think we realize that, but it's going to be a true glimpse of what Yeshua and what that first Sukkot in Jerusalem will be in his reign is going to be just like what we're going to experience in a couple of weeks. You see, the children of Israel are standing there just like we're going to be standing in unity, and they're going to realize that God is much higher than we can grasp or comprehend. We don't understand all the things of God. You know, in Jeremiah 29, God says, I will reverse the exile. I will gather you from all nations, and I will bring you back to the place I exiled you from. And that is addressing the promised land. Acts, just to close this morning, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, God is telling us to repent and return to God. So your sins shall be removed, and God will refresh you from heaven. Shabbat shalom. Have a great day.
Vizod HaTorah Asher Samoshe Lifnei B'nei Israel Al Pi Adonai B'yad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands. Okay, it's Chaim. It's Chaim hi, the mazikim ba, the tokeha.
Erusha, Dirakehi Hai, Gerenoam, Behotivoteka, Shalom, Ashiveinu, Adonai, Elehan, Vashuva,
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her,
and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord,
and we shall return.
Renew our days as of old.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to turn on test 1-2. We're going to have some announcements. Shabbat shalom, folks watching online. Shabbat shalom, folks who just arrived. We're glad you're with us today. Shabbat shalom, folks who've been here all morning. Folks who might have even eaten breakfast here. Hallelujah. Who ate breakfast here? Raise your hand. One, we have one back there. We have one eating breakfast and one who ate breakfast. Amazing. Did you eat breakfast on the way? Yep. Was it good? Where'd you go? Mako Donarudo? You know how they say it in Japanese? Mako Donarudo. That's how you say it. Say that with me. Mako Donarudo. That's how you say McDonald's in Japanese. I know you're going to say it, even though you won't say it right now. I know you're going to say it when you leave. You're going to say Mako Donarudo. Say it. Come on, Chan. You say it. Very good. All right, Chan. Let's give it up for Chan. Chan spoke Japanese this morning. Now say, domo arigato gozaimasu.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Mr. Roboto. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo arigato means thank you very much. I forget what gozaimasu means. I used to take karate. You know, my karate teacher was about 4'8", and she was like a quadruple black belt world champion, and And she was a Jewish gal. And you never mess with a Jewish gal, let me tell you that. All right, just first thing, don't mess with a country girl, especially one who can drive a backhoe. And don't drive and don't mess with a Jewish girl, especially one who's a triple black belt in karate. So anyway, so five guys jumped her one night. She's walking somewhere down in the city, and five guys jumped her. And it's kind of like one of those Vin Diesel movies or something, you know, where five guys ended up in the hospital or dead, whatever. She messed them up pretty bad. Five guys. She's 4'8". Her name was Pam Glazer. You probably look her up. She's probably got a record like a you know, of awards. You probably look her up on Google. She was my karate teacher, so don't mess with me. All right? Okay. Announcements. Wake up, Rabbi. Enough fooling around. Okay. Fall feasts. We are in the fall feasts of the Lord, people. And if you're not Jewish or you're not Messianic and you don't know what the fall feasts are, they're in Leviticus 23 of the Bible. They are the feasts of the Lord, and the Lord is Yeshua, and Yeshua is Jesus. And so these are the fall feasts of Jesus. Now, just to give you an example of how important these feasts are, Yeshua, Passover, Yeshua was crucified on Passover. He's our Passover lamb, 1 Corinthians 5. He was, the next feast after that is unleavened bread. And he was buried in the ground on unleavened bread. And he said, unless a kernel of grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. So he was the kernel of grain that fell to the ground to bear much fruit. Amen? So he was buried on unleavened bread. And then he rose from the dead 3 days and three nights later on the Feast of First Fruits. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:20, for Messiah, for Christ, our first fruits is our first fruits from the dead, from those who have fallen asleep. So when Paul spoke of resurrection, he was saying that the holiday was the Feast of First Fruits, was the day of the resurrection. They didn't call it Easter. They called it the Feast of First Fruits. You can read all this. It's listed out in Leviticus 23. And it's all in God's calendar, which I have, save the Bible. This is a biblical calendar, and it has pretty pictures in it, and it has a lot of information. We're going to talk about some of it today, but it has pictures of Israel, and it's a parallel calendar. It has our calendar, you know, January, February, March, April, May, but it also has, there's the beautiful Dead Sea there, right there. And you can order, we have new ones coming in Tuesday. You can order these. You can come to our website and you can order one. You hit the donate button and just send us an email that you wanted a calendar. They're $15 plus, I think, $2 for shipping. So I think they're $17 with shipping. And we'll send you a brand new calendar for the coming year. And you can follow the Jewish holidays. These holidays are critical, and I think, you know, people don't realize that, you know, we've got a massive hurricane going on right now, and we're going to talk about this today, but these are the 10 days of judgment, of awe. The days of awe are the days from Rosh Hashanah, from the last Saturday night to Sunday, and it goes to the 19th, to Wednesday night. 10 days called the days of awe. Remember when they went into Iraq and they said, we're going to give them shock and awe? Well, these are the days of awe, the awesome days that we're in the middle of right now. This is God's season of judgment. I'm going to talk about that today. And why things, we're going to talk about certain events, why they happen during this season. But anyway, you can learn about the feasts if you've been studying on TV. You hear all these preachers on TBN, and you don't have to. You can get it from the mouth of a real Jew who's grown up celebrating the feasts. You can hear it instead of listening to some televangelist on TBN or Daystar talking about the feast. You can actually come and celebrate with us and learn about it right here in Bristol. You don't have to watch it on TV. You can come and sit and learn. And I tell you, you're going to learn more here than you will on TBN. But anyway, our next service is our fall feast is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That's in Leviticus 23, the Day of Atonement. Paul referred to it in Acts 27 when he talked about the fast just before he got on the ship. You know, the ship that had that storm and they wrecked at Malta. And he was 2 weeks, there was a storm for 2 weeks, remember that? In Acts 27, Paul said it was after the fast. That means he's after Yom Kippur, because that's the fast he was talking about. So the weather got bad in the fall, and they set out to sea, and they hit a bad storm. So you can come and learn about that feast, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's the holiest day on Israel's calendar. It starts Tuesday night. We'll have a service at 6:30 p.m. right here. You're welcome to come. You don't have to be Jewish. You don't have to join the congregation. You don't have to sell us your birthright. You don't have to make us lentil stew. Okay? And it actually begins a fast for those who want to join us in fasting. God says to humble ourselves on that day. So we start a fast, 24 hours on Yom Kippur, starting Tuesday night. Eat dinner, come to service. If you want to fast, eat at home. Come at 6:30 for the service. And then we fast 24 hours till the next night, Wednesday night, as we have the Nila service. And that's at 6:30 p.m. And then we break the fast. Now, since what we're going to do is we're going to break the fast by going to Cracker Barrel, because our kitchen, our fellowship hall is in tatters and is unusable. So those who want to go out to break the fast, we can go together to Cracker Barrel. If people need help, if you can't afford dinner at Cracker Barrel or whatever, if somebody needs assistance, we'll take up a love offering to help folks with that. We'll take between now and the break fast, we'll take a couple love offerings to help folks who can't afford, so that nobody misses out on breaking the fast. Amen. Aja, do you like to go to Cracker Barrel? Amen. Amen. How do you say it again? Ohio kozaimasu. Well, isn't that interesting? Domorate arigato kozaimasu. So Japanese and Hawaiian? Yes, thank you very much. Amen. And mahalo.
Hello.
I know a little bit. So join us Tuesday night for the beginning of Yom Kippur. Come on down, 6:30. Everybody's invited. It's community service. Don't worry, I don't bite. I just nibble. And then we have services on Wednesday to break fast. You'll learn about Yom Kippur. You'll learn about the feast, but you got to come. Or you can watch it online, just like you're doing now. And that's up to you. Now, I want to tell you about one other thing, the third and final feast. And this is the one, this is called the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is a feast that all the nations are going to celebrate, or they'll have no rain. Read Zechariah 14:16. In the millennium, Yeshua, God said that all the nations who survived when they attacked Israel, and then Yeshua came and beat and defeated the nations of the world that attacked Israel because they hated the Jews, all who survived from the nations will come up to Jerusalem, and Zechariah 14:16, from year to year to celebrate the Feast of Sukkot. Everybody say Sukkot. Sukkot. Sukkot is also, in your English Bible, should be the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says, you're going to come up and celebrate it, all who survived, and that's going to be during the millennium. It says the nation or the person, the Gentile, who doesn't come up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem will have no rain. Will have no rain. And we'll explain all that during this feast. But that was the feast, the third and final feast. Coming up, we're going to celebrate. It's called Sukkot in the Mountains, and we're doing it, since it's a Feast of the Nations, we're doing it with our friends at New Life Baptist Church, and they have a 100-acre farm. Their church is located on a 100-acre farm, And you can find out information at our website. If you're watching online, there's information about Sukkot. Deborah Klein, Ian Torno will provide worship. I'll be teaching. We have a special youth teacher, David. Oh, Lord, what's David's name? Anyway, David's coming. Pastor David. I can't think of his last name. Excuse me. And David Walter Durham, that's it. David Walter Durham is coming from North Carolina, and he's going to minister to the youth on Saturday night. I'll be teaching Friday night and Saturday. Pastor Bill from the church will be teaching on Sunday. Deborah Kleine and Torno and Vince will be doing worship all weekend. You can bring campers, you can bring motorhomes, you can bring trailers, fifth wheels, tag-alongs. You can bring tents. There's spots for, there's electricity available and water for a small fee. You can register. You got to register, though. So please go online at our website or go to forzionsake.org, and you'll see the ad and click on it for Sukkot in the Mountains. Sukkot in the Mountains. September 28th through 30th. Please register and join us. There's going to be dance, hayrides, campfires, all kinds of goodies going on, all kinds of good stuff, all weekend long. They're going to cook for us. There's going to be breakfast and dinner every day. You go out lunch, you'll be, get lunch on your own, but they're going to serve us breakfast and dinner. For it's going to be kosher for those who keep kosher. It'll be kosher and... So it's registration is $25 for the weekend. That's September 28th through 30th. $25 for adults. That includes food, guys. That includes registration. That includes food. Breakfast and dinner. Breakfast and dinner. You can't beat that. $25. Children 12 and under are $15 for the weekend. Again, that includes food. Children 12 and under, $15. You have to see our website to find out the cost for RVs and tents and if you want electricity. If you just want to bring a tent and you don't want water or electricity, it's probably no charge for that. But if you want water and electricity hookup, then you're going to, there's a very small fee, very minimal fee. And you can camp out all week if you want. Just contact us, okay? Get in touch with us. Go on our website. Sign up for our newsletter, and you can, on our website, you sign up for our newsletter. You can be kept informed about concerts like Paul Wilbur and McAdam, Ted Pierce, and things like that. Sign up for our newsletter. Plus, you get my teachings. And so that's what I wanted to say about the feasts. The schedule's on the website, okay? Lastly, I want to mention, before we take our offering, I have some books if you would like. This is God's feasts. Fall feasts are right now. We're in the middle of the days of awe, of the 10 days of awe. When I'm going to talk about this in my message. But if you want to learn about God's feasts, this is God's Appointed Times. It's a great book by Rabbi Barney Kasdan explaining the feasts of the Lord, the biblical holidays. If you'd like a copy of this, we'll be glad to get you one. We just ask for a suggested donation of $25. We'll send it to you. This book, forgiveness is the ultimate theme right now of this feast. Forgiveness is the theme of penance, of repentance. Turn teshuvah. This is called, you know what today is? Shabbat Shuvah. Everybody say Shabbat Shuvah. Means the Sabbath of repentance. This is the Sabbath of repentance today. This is the day when we of reconciliation. A better word for it is the Sabbath of reconciliation. Amen? So this is when we reconcile with people. We try. You can't always reconcile with people that you're on the outs with. But sometimes you can reconcile. And isn't it wonderful when you reconcile? Isn't reconciliation wonderful? Amen? It's a good thing. It's better than fighting, Xavier, don't you think? Amen. Domo arigato. Mako donarudo. Okay, so this book is called Forgiving Forward. If you have, I was talking to a lady one time, And she had bitterness going back 30 years. She was bitter towards her pastors, her ex-husband. And I was listening, and I had been listening for 2 years to her complain about her ex-husband and her pastors and churches for 30 years. And it hit me one day. She has bitterness. She has a root of bitterness in her life and unforgiveness. If you're carrying grudges from 30 years ago, you need to let it go and forgive. Because if you read in Matthew 18 about the parable of the unforgiving servant who didn't forgive his servant, it says he was handed over to the torturer. Who wants to be handed over to the torturer? Read Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant. Forgive. This is the greatest book. Will help you show that, man, this guy came to my bagel shop when I had a shop, and I sold it. But anyway, he came and visited me, and I thought we were going to have coffee, and I ended up for 3 hours in my office on my knees, confessing, repenting about resentments going back to my father. I mean, most of us have resentments and bitterness in us that we don't even know, going back to our parents, to our siblings, to former spouses, to children, to whatever, to bosses, to people who bullied us in school, whatever, and you got to let it go. It's poison to your body. It's poison. So this book, again, for your love gift of $25, we'll be glad to send that to you, Forgiving Forward. And lastly, this is Christ in the Feast of Tabernacles. This explains the Feast of Sukkot, which is coming up. That's the feast, I said, where the nations all go to Jerusalem. This is a great read to understand that feast. So if you'd like to get any of these just for your love gift this month, we will send it to you. And so thank you. We're going to take up our offering now, and I'm going to pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you what you already own. You're just watching us to see if we're obedient, Lord, to see if we're obedient to give to you what already belongs to you. Your word says that you own it all. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I thank you for the privilege of being able to give and to sow into your kingdom. You know, you can give to many causes, but if you're not giving to causes that are God's, if God's not in the giving, there's no blessing in it. Did you know that? You can give you can build camps for underprivileged children. You can build hospital wings, but if God didn't tell you to do it, there's no blessing in it. It's a strange thing, but God only wants you to give where he wants you to give, and he'll tell you where to give and how much to give. And so it's a strange concept to a lot of people, I know, but it's the biblical, it's true. Let me give you an example. I belong to a club, you know, it's not the Lions Club, but it's a civic club. They do charity, but they don't do it for the Lord. They raise money for different causes all around the world, but it's not in the name of the Lord. And when you give, and they give, and they pat each other on the back, you know, oh, we gave so much. Oh, great. You know, we've given over 20 years. We've given $500,000. Oh, aren't we special? You know, that's not God's way of giving. God's way of giving is his way. And he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. He says, and that if test me in this, bring the tithe into my house. He says, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain, and I will rebuke the devourer. So it's important that you bring your tithe to your home congregation. It's also important that you support ministries with your love offering, with love offerings and love gifts. So if you'd like to give today online, you can give securely on you hit the donate there. It'll tell you right there on our website. Anyhow, Father, we just thank you and bless these offerings, bless the givers, and bless the gift a hundredfold. We bind the enemy, and we thank you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. And also, lastly, I want to please remember the building fund. We've got a huge projects coming up this coming week. Please remember the fund. This week's going to cost us several thousand dollars to repair our fellowship hall. And we also have the bucket for spare change. If you have alms for the poor, for the needy in Israel, we have the bucket there for that. So may God bless you as you give. Shabbat shalom.
Shem Adonai, Alleluia. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, Alleluia. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Baruch haba Shem Adonai, Alleluia. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Hallelujah. God's good. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. All right. Yeah, let's get to it. Let's get down to it. I think we have three dancers.
Are thy wondrous deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, O Lord, King of the ages art thou. Great and wonderful are thy wondrous deeds, O Lord God the Almighty.
Hey!
Just and true are all thy ways, O Lord, King of the ages art thou. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord? For thou art alone, I'm holy, thou alone. All the nations come and worship thee, for thy glory shall be wheel. Hallelujah, 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 amen. La 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 la. Great and wonderful are thy wondrous deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, O Lord, King of the ages art thou. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord? For thou alone art holy, thou alone. All the nations come and worship thee, for thy glory shall be revealed. Hallelujah, 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 amen. La 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 la.
Hallelujah. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Let's hear it. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Hallelujah. Amen. How great is our God? Yes, how great is He? The King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, darkness tries to hide. He trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. Is our God, sing with me how great is our God. All will see how great, how great is our God. Is He great? Sing with me how great is our God. All will see how great, how great is our God. Our God. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto, Neolam Vaed, Beahavta et Adonai Elohecha, Bechol Levavcha, Uvechol Nafshecha, ובכל מאודך, והיו הדברים האלה, אשר אנוכים מצלך על לבבך, ושינתם על לבבך, ודיברת בהם, על מזוזות ביתך, ובלכתך בדרך, ובשכבך, על מזוזות ביתך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall sit in your house when you walk by the way, when you retire and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated.
Oh Lord my God,
of darkness cannot touch me. In your presence, O God, in your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, O Lord my God, in your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, O God. You are my firm foundation. I trust in you all day long. Child and your servant, and you are my strength and my song.
Yes, you're my song.
In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, oh Lord,
you are.
just welcome you. Welcome your presence here, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, we're going to go to the Lord's table. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. If you're watching, actually, I'm going to go to my belt here. If you're watching us, pick up sticks. All right, there we go. Hey. Okay, we're going to go to the Lord's table and the Shulchan Adonai, or communion. And I'm a little bit hot. My mic's a little hot. And I'm not hot, but I am a little hot too, but my mic's hot. And we're going to go to the Lord's table. So if you're joining us online and you have some crackers or matzah or some bread and you have some grape juice or manischewitz or caramel, you know, that you want to use, go right ahead and get yourself ready. I'm going to make my way down there to the table, and we're going to prepare. So this is a good time for you to prepare yourself. So we're glad you're with us today, and I'm going to take one last sip before I go down. I'm the hardest working rabbi in showbiz. Not too many of them do the worship and everything else. I'm not complaining. I am loud, though. I am very hot. My mic is hot. My mic is hot. The bells are ringing for me and my gal. And my gal's going to walk in any minute, I'm telling you. She's coming back from Knoxville, and she flew in this morning. She was in, Dawn flew from Newark to Greensboro. She flew into the Triad last night, and then she flew back to Newark and spent the night in Newark. Then she flew from Newark. She flew to Knoxville this morning, caught a flight to Knoxville, got in at 10:30, got in her car, started driving here. So I think she's going to walk in. You're probably going to see her in her uniform. And she's coming. She's coming to visit. Is everybody? Let's give her a clap offering. Dawn's coming to visit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Deborah's son. He's a pilot too. He works out west. Flies mostly out western flights, western routes, Mesa Airlines. And are the flights mostly out west there? Okay. So Dawn's mostly in the Northeast and the Midwest. And the south. She does south, north, all the way up, you know, north to Portland and Burlington, Vermont. And then she does out west to Midwest to Louisville and Indiana, places like that. And then she'll go down as far down to like Norfolk and Greensboro and Memphis. She was in Memphis. Didn't get there in time for any barbecue, but maybe that was the Lord saying, don't eat that stuff. But she was in Memphis the other night. But anyway, we're going to go to the Lord's table. So how about Deborah and Sharon? You look so lovely together. Would you like to serve today? Don't they have lovely scarves on today? Amen. All right, I'm going to bless. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal. We call it the cup of redemption. And he took that third cup at Passover, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. And then he took the Afikoman, the Afikoman, as my friend who knows Greek says, it's called in Greek is the Afikoman. It means that which comes later. And he took the middle layer of three pieces of unleavened bread, of matzah, on every Passover table. And he took the middle layer and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So do this in remembrance of me. So he was telling us what he was going to do, and demonstrating through the bread and through the wine that he drank and that he used to show us what was going to happen, that the wine represented his blood shed for us, and the bread represented his body, which was crucified and brutally desecrated. With how many lashes? Did he have 41 lashes, was it? 39 lashes. 39 lashes. He was spit on. He had a crown of thorns. He was mocked. And he was beaten. And he was sleepless, hungry. His throat was dry. And it was a very horrible experience that he had to endure for us. But before we come, I want to ask us to bow our heads. And if you're watching, if you would join us in just bowing your head or your heart with us. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Messiah, if you don't know Yeshua, the Bible says he's the Son of God. He came to die for your sins and mine. Amazingly, he rose from the dead on the third day. He's the Son of God. He was buried, crucified, and buried 3 days and three nights. And he rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death. And if you don't know him, but you'd like to have him to meet the Messiah, if you'd like to meet the Messiah, just say, "Rabbi Joe," you even be in your living room, wherever you're listening, "Rabbi Joe, I'd like to meet the Messiah. And I'm going to help you right now if you'd like to do that. Just pray with me now, okay? Just pray this prayer. For anybody who'd like to meet the Messiah, just say, "Dear God,
dear God,
I'd like to meet the Messiah.
I want to
know you. I sense a holy presence in this service. And I sense God. I feel your presence. I want to know you. Lord, I confess that I've messed up in my life. I've made a lot of mistakes. And I need you to forgive me. And only Yeshua can forgive. So, Lord Yeshua, forgive my sins. And wash me. Come into my heart. Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, come into my heart, wash me, take control of my life. I yield to you. Put my name in your book of life. And on the judgment day, remember that you forgave me. And give me eternal life. In Yeshua's name. Amen. All right. Well, this is a good time. If you have sins to confess, if you have sins to confess to God before you come to the Lord's table, this is a good time to do that. So you can confess and pray, and then come and receive grace from the Lord, okay? God bless you as you come.
See on the tree.
Test 1, 2. Praise the Lord. Thank you. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Can't hear you. Yeah, I'm going to do that. But not the song. Yeah. Hallelujah. Are we on there, Isaac? Okay. Well, we're going to bless the children. We're going to pray for the message. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the children today. Lord, we bless them. We pray, Lord, that you would bless all of our children and bless them as they come in and bless them as they go out, Lord. Bless them in school, bless the work of their hands, help them with their studies, help them to be successful, Lord, for their what they do now, in those who are in high school, is going to determines what they do in life and how well they do. So the study habits, they can turn it around, but the study habits that they gain now are going to make the difference later on in life. And the grades that they get when they graduate, everything is being watched from ninth grade on, Lord. Everything is being watched, so help them, Lord. Give them success, bless them on the athletic field, Lord. Protect them. You can turn me up a little bit. Protect them, Lord, and keep them from harm. Give them success, Lord. I pray, as I pray for my boys, give them the strength of Elijah, the strength of Samson. Give them the speed of Elijah. Give them the warrior spirit of David and the heart for God that David had. And give them the humility of Moses, Lord, and give them the wisdom of Solomon. Lord, I just thank you and give them success on the field, or give them health. Protect all our kids as they go out and play sports. Watch over them. Give them health. Heal their colds and protect their bodies. Thank you that Isaac's team won last night, And we just bless them. We pray for their future helpmates, Lord. We pray that you prepare their helpmates in life, even now, that you would be preparing them for that, and that you would preserve their purity, our children, and we pray, Lord, that you would prepare them for their helpmates, Lord. Make them ready, and for that special day coming one day in life, hopefully, for each one. And we just thank you, Lord, that you guide them and direct them, lead them in the path, lead them in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart from it. And help us to train them up that way as parents. In Yeshua's name, amen. Now bless this word and this message that I have. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, just bring forth your message. Bring forth your word and your love and your grace. In Yeshua's name, amen. Bind the strong man, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. I want to welcome folks on Facebook. We want to welcome folks watching on Facebook this morning. I've had several titles for this message. Essentially, it's Finding Grace in the Wilderness and Finding Grace in the Storm. Finding grace in the wilderness and finding grace in the midst of the storm. And right now, we're going through a tremendous storm. In the world, in the United States is going through a tremendous storm. Hawaii had a big storm not long ago. There was another big storm in Asia. I think China had a big storm. I'm not sure. There's a lot of people perished a few weeks ago. It says in Luke chapter 21 that men will be perplexed by the roaring of the waves. In Luke 21, it says, in the end of days, and the disciples had asked the Lord, they said, what will be the sign of your coming? And he gave us several signs, things to look at and to consider. And in Luke 21, verse 25, he said, there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars. And we'll talk about one of those today. And on earth, dismay among nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Dismay among the nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. For the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Wow. So we're in the midst of a hurricane right now. Hurricane Florence has hit a little bit hot, just a little hot there. Hurricane Florence just turned down a hair. Hurricane Florence has hit the east coast of the United States. It hit a direct hit on Wilmington, North Carolina, and the Outer Banks of North Carolina. The length of the storm affects Myrtle Beach all the way down to Georgetown and Pawleys Island, and it affects as far north, I believe, into Virginia. And then it goes west. It's traveling west today. It's probably our friends who come from North Carolina. I would probably couldn't come, I'm guessing, because of rain in North Carolina. Oh, I'm talking about Maria and Wendell, honey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yes, I know who you're talking about. Thank you. Our friends in North Carolina, who are going to be here today, probably had rains. Now, the beauty of living in East Tennessee, and if you are looking for a place to get away from a lot of the storms and a lot of the terrible weather that's going on in the United States, we are surrounded by mountains. We're in a valley surrounded by mountains. And storms, one thing storms hate are mountains, because What happens is they get stuck. When they hit the mountains, they stall, they slow down, and we don't get hardly, unless it's coming directly at it through a valley, we don't get the winds. Like, it has to come from the west for us to get, in order for us to get heavy winds and really horrible, like, you know, the effects of a hurricane. Can't come over the mountains. It has to come through the plain, and the only plain in Tennessee is from the west. So you know, it's basically we see very little problems from the west. There are sometimes in the spring tornadoes coming through the west, western Tennessee, middle Tennessee. Very rarely do they get this far. Very rarely, you know, occasionally we just pray them off. But this is a good place, weather-wise. This is a safe place. And if you're looking for a safe place to go, East Tennessee, Southwest Virginia is a good place to live. Amen? That's what the sign says. The sign says, Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia, a good place to live. So if the sign says it, it must be true, right, Diane? Amen. Mac O'Donnell Ruta, what's the word for today? Xavier? Mac O'Donnell Ruto. Mac O'Donnell Ruto. Okay. So we're going to talk about finding grace. Now, finding grace in the storm, and we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to go to that verse. But I want to explain, before I talk about the storm and judgment, things like that, I want to talk about the feast. There's three feasts. And they're all laid out in Leviticus 23. And they started last Saturday. It's called Saturday night. See, God has a calendar. And God's calendar is not the same as the American calendar, okay? So, for example, God's calendar, this year isn't 2018. Saturday night began the year 5779 on the biblical calendar, okay? 5779 is the year we're in on the biblical calendar. And God's year, the biblical year, is 360 days. 360 days. So in order to keep up with, to catch up and coincide with the Gregorian calendar, which is your June, July, August, September, and, you know, July is for Julius Caesar, August is for Caesar Augustus, June is for Juno, the false god Juno, and the Roman god Juno, and all these things are pagan. And so the calendar the Western world uses is a pagan calendar. Okay, it's not God's calendar. So, so to give you an example, so there's three feasts in the fall, and they began Saturday night last week on the 9th of September. Was at night at sundown on the 9th of September began the first day of the seventh month. Now, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23, and we're going to look at the fall feasts of the Lord for a moment. I'm not going to give a big teaching on it, but we're just going to briefly talk about it for a second. So in Leviticus 23, if you don't understand God's feast, and I know many of you watch TV and you learn about this stuff on TV, you can come here and celebrate it and actually experience it. Like I said, you don't have to leave your church. You know, you can come. If you do Passover, these feasts are just as important as Passover. Jesus celebrated these feasts. In fact, when you get to heaven, you're going to be celebrating these feasts. It's true. And so in Leviticus 23, verse 1, the Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim." Okay, let's stop there. The Lord's appointed times. Adonai. The word Lord, Adonai, is, or the Lord's appointed times,
Are Yeshua? Who's the Lord? Who is Lord? Doesn't the Bible say Yeshua is Lord? Jesus is Lord, right? Jesus is Lord. Everybody say that. Jesus is Lord. So when it says the Lord's appointed times, whose appointed times are they? Yeshua. Jesus's. Jesus's. Jesus's appointed. I hate when people say that. Jesus appointed times. That's the appropriate way to say it. Okay. All right. So these are the Lord's appointed times. What's an appointed time or a set time? Well, the word is moed, and it means feast. Means feast, but it also means appointments. These are God's appointments to have Mikre Kodesh. It says, and you shall proclaim them as holy convocations. My appointed times are these. So God is saying, these are times to have solemn assemblies. A Mikre Kodesh is a holy convocation. A holy convocation, when I graduated college, they had convocation. That was an assembly of thousands of people, parents and 1,000 students in my college. There were 1,000 students in my class, and all of our parents and sisters and friends and boyfriends and girlfriends. There were probably 5,000 people in the stadium that day when I graduated college, and they called it convocation. Amen? Now, they didn't call it holy convocation. Now, a holy convocation is when you come into the house of the Lord to worship God. And when you come to worship, that's a holy convocation or a solemn or a sacred assembly. It can be just going to church or going to synagogue. It can be any time you go to worship God. It can be a wedding. It can be a funeral. It can be a homecoming. It can be a feast or holiday. That is a solemn assembly. Anytime you enter the house of the Lord to worship the true and living God, then you are having a solemn assembly. So there's 8 solemn assemblies, 8 appointed times, feasts. Everybody say feasts. And the word for feast is also the same word for appointment. It's one of the words for appointment. These are God's appointments. So does that mean God doesn't show up on church when you go to church on Sunday? No, it doesn't mean that at all. God can show up. I've been in many churches where God shows up on Sunday. In fact, I was in one last Sunday. And God was in the house. Amen? But it's still not the Sabbath. The Sabbath is one of God's appointed times, and today is the Sabbath. As I've said before, the 4th of July isn't Veterans Day. Memorial Day isn't Secretary's Day. Halloween isn't Valentine's Day. And Christmas isn't Hanukkah. And Sabbath isn't Sunday. Okay? The Sabbath never changed. Okay? If it did, men changed it, not God. As a matter of fact, in Luke 4, if you want to read it on your own time, it says, as was his custom, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day, let me tell you something about the days in Hebrew in Israel. They're numbered. They're not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Sunday is the first day, Yom Echad. Then there's Monday is the second day, Yom Sheni. A little Hebrew lesson here. Yom Sheni, Sheni is the second. Tuesday is Yom Shlishi, the third day. Wednesday is Yom Rivi, the fourth day. Thursday is Yom Chamishi, the fifth day. And Friday is Yom Shishi, the sixth day. Sheish is the number 6. Yom Shishi is the sixth day. And Sabbath, Shabbat, everybody say Shabbat, is the seventh day. So Spanish people, Hispanic Latin people, Latinos, they have no problem. They have an easier time understanding when the Sabbath is, because the word for Saturday, which Jews call Shabbat, they call it Sabado, which is the same word for Sabbath. So when Latinos get saved, they often get pushed into Sunday churches, but they know that the word Sabado means Sabbath. So they often just kind of say, well, I'm going to go along with these Christians who worship on Sunday because that's what these missionaries tell me to do. But the truth is, they know that the word sabbado means Sabbath, and it's Saturday, okay? And it always was, and it always will be. All right, let's move on. So in verse 23 of Leviticus 23, there's eight feasts laid out. You can read them on your own. And the one that was started last week on Saturday night, a week ago, it says, again, the Lord spoke to Moses, speaking to the sons of Israel, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest. Oh, great. Isn't that awesome when God tells you to rest? I like that. God says rest. Then he says, it shall be a reminder by blowing of trumpets, blowing shofars. This is a shofar. A shofar is a ram's horn. This is what it sounds like. Okay, so that's a ram's horn. This is what Gideon blew when Gideon's trumpet was like this, maybe a little bigger. This is what Gideon's trumpet looked like. This was what caused the ram to get stuck in the thicket when Abraham went up the mountain with Isaac, and the ram got caught in the bush, in the thicket. It got caught by its horn. Amen? Its horn got caught, and this is the ram's horn. When Joshua marched around Jericho, this is the horn that they blew, the shofar, and when the Lord returns, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, the shofar, that will be the you'll hear a giant shofar in the heavens, much louder than this, and you'll hear that sound, something similar, not exactly, but similar, and you'll hear it, and it'll be the coming of the Lord. You'll know the Lord's coming, because you'll hear the sound of the shofar in the heavens, and nobody will be able to that's one alarm clock that nobody will escape, okay? So going back to Leviticus 23, verse 23, it says it should be a reminder, the day of, it should be a Sabbath, a rest, day of blowing of shofars, and a holy convocation. So just come together, to come and worship, join together in the house of the Lord, come and worship, and bring an offering by fire to the Lord. Well, today we no longer have a temple. We no longer have a sacrificial altar. So we no longer bring an offering by fire, but instead we bring the sacrifice of praise. Amen? We bring the sacrifice of, we bring our offerings, our tithes and our offerings, our gifts to the Lord, to upkeep to the house of the Lord, to keep the ministry of the Lord going. Amen? And so we bring, but Yeshua is our sacrificial offering. He's the one that takes the place of that offering by fire, that animal that was burnt, and some were burnt totally, and some were burnt and then consumed by the people. Okay, so that was Saturday, and that began what are called 10 days of awe. And by the way, Rosh Hashanah means New Year, but it also in the Bible calls it, the biblical name for it is Yom Teruah, and it means the day of the awakening blast. The day of the awakening blast. And it means the blast of this instrument. That'll wake you up in the morning. That's how I wake up my boys in the morning. I go into their room and I blow the shofar. Actually, no, I don't really do that, but I should. Anyway, I'm going to get you a shofar alarm clock. Anyway, I'm just kidding. They're good. They're great. They're good boys. They wake up better than I do. Hallelujah. So anyway, that started 10 days of awe. 10 days of awe. And the rabbis call Yom Teruah, the day of the blowing of trumpets, they call it, another name the rabbis have is Yom Din or Yom Hadin, the day of judgment. The day of judgment. And it starts 10 days, and today is Shabbat Shuvah, the day of repentance, Sabbath of repentance, and all before Yom Kippur, which comes Tuesday night, begins Yom Kippur. So there's 10 days going from last Saturday to this Wednesday on God's calendar, which is really, so the seventh month, it says in the seventh month, let's go back to verse 23, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the sons of Israel saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a rest. Okay, let me just say, when in this book, in this Bible, the seventh month isn't July. So your mind has been trained west. You look at this book through a Western lens, okay? Everybody who reads this book in English and doesn't think Hebraically reads it through a Western lens. So when you read that and you don't understand, you haven't been around Messianic Jews, you read the seventh month and you think, oh, in July, we're supposed to have a day on the first day of July, but it's not July. It's called Tishrei. Would you all say that? Tishrei. And the first day of Tishrei is the first holiday in the fall. And that day was last Saturday. So today is the sixth day of Tishrei. We're 6 days in, okay? So the first day actually started at sundown last Saturday, but the first day, remember, in the Bible, it was evening and it was morning on the first day. It was evening and it was morning on the second day. So the day begins at night. So today, so the actual first day began last Saturday night at sundown, but the actual the day was on Sunday. So, or on Monday, excuse me. Forgive me. The ninth, so the beginning of the first day was last Sunday, and Monday was the actual first day. Today is the sixth day of Tishrei, the sixth day of the seventh month, okay, on God's calendar. So just to make it clear, July is the seventh month on the Gregorian calendar, and Tishrei is the seventh month on God's calendar. You notice we're in September, okay? We're not in July. We're way 2 months away, okay? 2 months away from each other. God's calendar's different. And if you don't start to catch up with God's calendar, people, you are going to miss things. If you don't learn God's calendar, we're getting to times. The times are getting desperate. And if you don't start to get on God's time clock, you are going to miss things. The times are getting desperate. Just ask the folks out in Wilmington and the Outer Banks that are underwater. Ask the folks who've been through all these hurricanes and earthquakes. Ask the folks who've lost their homes in wildfires out west. It's interesting. And I said last Sunday night when we had our service, I said, watch what happens during the next 10 days. Now, I didn't know there was going to be a hurricane last Sunday night. I didn't know a hurricane was coming last Sunday night. Maybe some did. I didn't know. I just said, watch what happens during the next 10 days. Now, interestingly, that 10-day period, let's talk about some things that happened during that 10 days of awe, which started on this year. It started on the 9th of September, and it ends on the 19th, which is Tishrei. I don't want to confuse you. So it started on the 9th of September, and it ends on the 10th of September. The 19th. It ends on the 19th of September. Okay, 10 days of awe. So what are some things that happened during those 10 days? Stay with me. So what are some things that happened during those 10 days? Well, let me tell you. On September 11th, 17 years ago, the World Trade Center was hit during this days of awe. Amen? 17 years ago, on September 11th, the World Trade Center was hit, the greatest attack on American soil, on the mainland American soil, that we've had ever. Was on September 11th. We had Hurricane Friday this week. Yesterday was the 14th. We're still in those 10 days. Yesterday was the 14th Friday. So that was Hurricane Florence hit the Outer Banks and hit Wilmington and South Carolina and Virginia, hit the coast of the Mid-Atlantic, amen, or the Mid-South, and wreaked havoc. I mean, it's wreaking havoc. Flooding, New Bern, North Carolina, over 150 people had to be rescued in New Bern and Moorhead City. Places that never expected to flood, flooded, and people had to be rescued from the roofs of their homes. Amen. Let me go back in time to this period, these 10 days of awe. Today is the anniversary, the 15th of September, of the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Was 8 years ago today when Lehman Brothers Investment Bank collapsed. And it's Hurricane Ike hit a couple of days ago. Was the anniversary of Hurricane Ike, which destroyed Galveston, Texas, just leveled it. And then the Monday following, which would be about the 17th, which is still during the days of awe, 8 years ago, that's when the stock market crashed 777 points during that 10 days of awe. 777 points, causing us to go into a terrible recession 8 years ago, where many thousands of people, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds, lost their retirement. Many people lost their jobs. Many people, just terrible. It was terrible times came upon this country 8 years ago, and we had a recession that we've only just come out of in the past 2 years. We've just come out of that recession, and I won't go into details about the numbers, but I won't go there. We've come out of the recession, okay? Anyway, so you can see that when this is God's season of judgment. We are in, all these crazy things happen at this time of year, every year, and if you look back in history at events that have taken place during September, hallelujah, if you look, surge here, if you look back, praise the Lord, go back in time, we're getting a little power surge thing going on here, excuse me. Over time, the devil's trying to stop me from speaking. Judgments have taken place. Now, why do I say that? Now, turn to Jeremiah 30. Turn to Jeremiah 30. And, is the hurricane a judgment? People hate that. They hate when you say that. They hate when you say that the hurricane is a judgment. They hate when you say things like that. But let's look at what God's word says. First of all, hold your place in Jeremiah 30, and let's turn to... Thank you. Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 says... For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So would you say that the flood of Noah, it says that the last days before the coming of the Lord will be as the days of Noah. Now, God said that the rainbow was a sign he wasn't going to destroy the earth with water, but he didn't say he wouldn't use water. He says he wouldn't destroy the earth with water. He's going to destroy it with fire next time out. Fire. But he didn't say that water wouldn't be a factor. Okay? He said in Luke 21, he says, men will be perplexed by the roaring of the waves, and they will grab their bellies with fear. With fear. Okay? Now, there's a scripture in the New Testament, and it's in Luke chapter 13, if you want to go there for a second, before we read Jeremiah. Luke 13, that says, And this is how I want to handle judgment, okay? Luke 13, 1 through 5. Now on the same occasion there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Yeshua said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent," today is the Sabbath of repentance, "unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." What is Yeshua saying? He's saying when you see a tragedy come upon a people far away, maybe in Wilmington or in North Carolina, when you see a hurricane or an earthquake, when you see a tragedy and you see the Twin Towers, don't point the finger and say those guys were more wicked I'm righteous, but those were wicked people. No. Yeah, was it judgment? Was the World Trade Center judgment? Yeah, you bet it was. God took his hand off of protection off the Trade Center and the Pentagon. He took his hand of protection. Does that mean those people were worse than anyone else? No. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Yeshua said, Jesus, unless we repent, the same thing could happen to us. So don't get cocky, but know this. Let's read in Jeremiah 30, and I'm gonna go back to the beginning, but I'm gonna start in verse 23, because remember, this message is about grace. "Behold, the tempest of the Lord," or the word tempest is whirlwind, like a tornado, like a hurricane. It's Sahar, like Sahara Desert. Sahar, like Sahar. And it's in Hebrew, and it means hurricane. Okay, if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, the word in verse 23 of Jeremiah 30 is, "Behold, the hurricane of the Lord, Sahar, wrath has gone forth, a sweeping hurricane. It will burst on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and until he has accomplished the intent of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand this." Well, if you look at the amount of hurricanes hitting the United States in the last 20 years versus the last 100 years, okay, if you look at the amount of hurricanes that have hit the United States in the last 20 years, compare it. They're all listed. They've kept track of these things since 1906 was the big Galveston hurricane. Remember the first big Galveston one? They've been keeping records since those days. Go back in time and look at the hurricanes, and you'll see the devastation in the last 20, 25 years since Hurricane Andrew back and Hurricane Hugo and these massive hurricanes, Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Ike, Hurricane Dennis. All these hurricanes have done horrific damage. Are they judgments? Yes, they are. They are judgments. Why do I say that? Well, hold your place in Jeremiah and turn to Genesis 8. Let's talk about Noah for a second. Genesis 8:1. "But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Also the fountains of the deep and the floodgates of the sky were closed, and the rain from the sky was restrained. So let me ask you a question. Who stopped the winds? Who stopped the fountains from the coming up from under the earth? And who stopped the rain? I don't know. Yeshua, God. Amen? So if he stopped it, who do you think started it? He did. "And the water receded steadily from the earth, and at the end of 150 days, the water decreased. In the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat." Wait a second. In the 17th month, on the seventh on the 17th day of the seventh month. That's this month. On the 17th day of, that's 1 week after the 10 days of judgment. Wow. Remember I said at the beginning of this message, there's 10 days of judgment, which started last Sunday and ends on the 19th? Well, the day on our calendar that would correspond to the day of the 17th of the seventh month on your calendar would be Tishrei 17, would be September 26th. It's after judgment. After the judgment, Noah's ark rested. Isn't that awesome? After the season of judgment, after the 10 days of awe, after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, during Sukkot, which Leviticus 23, starting in verse 39, tells us is the time of our rejoicing. Amen? Sukkot is the time of our rejoicing. Noah's Ark landed during the biblical time of rejoicing. Read that at home. In Leviticus 23, starting in verse 39, is the time of our rejoicing. Noah's Ark landed on that day. After, a week after judgment, during the time of rejoicing, Noah's Ark landed on the mountain of Ararat. How cool is that? If that's not a sign of God's, you know, and by the way, how many people were in Noah's Ark? Eight people. Wow. The way is narrow that leads to eternal life. The gate is wide that leads to damnation. God has an ark for you, for the world, people, but very few are going to get on the ark in this generation. Remember, I read in Matthew, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. But let's read on. Let's go back to Jeremiah. I have good news for you, too. This is a message about grace. Jeremiah 30. Okay. Jeremiah 30. So we read here in verse 23, behold, the hurricane of the Lord. The word there is Sahar or Sahara, Sahar, and it means hurricane. Behold, the hurricane of the Lord, wrath has gone forth. It's judgment. A sweeping tempest. It will burst on the head of the wicked, but they're no more wicked than we are, and it could happen to us too, so don't point the finger. The fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and he has accomplished the intent of his heart. So God has a purpose in these hurricanes. God has a purpose and intent with these fires in the west. You know what the word he gave me about the west? He said, my people, speaking of the Jewish people, have managed to get themselves halfway around the world from home. He wants to bring the Jewish people home from the nations, as he promised to in the Law of Jubilee in Leviticus 25, to bring us home and restore us to our land and to our ancestral tribal land. You can read it in Ezekiel 21, verse 47. Or Ezekiel 47:21. That's it. Ezekiel 47:21, where he distributes the land among the different tribes. God, it's the time to bring the Jewish people out of the nations to come home. Is now. It's been going on for 100 years. Jewish people have been returning from the nations for 100 years. We're living in the days when it's time for the Jewish people to go home to Israel. But God, if they won't listen to the word and go home, God has to kick us in the pants sometimes. Nothing like a hurricane to kick you in the pants and get you to go where he wants you to go, right? Amen. Nothing like a wildfire to kick you out of your home in California to get you to go somewhere else. Have enough wildfires in your neighborhood and you're going to move, right? Yeah. Amen? I'm not wishing death on anybody. But God's trying to tell people by all these fires and earthquakes out west and threats of nuclear weapons from North Korea, get out of here. He's warning them, get out. Go to a safer place. Who's listening? Very few. Very few. People are moving. People will move from the coast. People have left Florida, but then they've gone back. They left years ago. I remember the houses were all for sale 10 years ago. They had some big hurricanes, and 10 years ago, 9 years ago, there were these, every house was for sale on the beach because they stopped giving flood insurance. And so you could have a $1 million home, but you couldn't insure it. Who wants a $1 million home that can flood with no insurance? So everybody had their houses up for sale. Well, now the good times started rolling. The recession ended. People forgot about the hurricanes, and everybody bought the houses. Now there's no signs. I go back because I have a little timeshare down there in Florida. I go once a year, and I go walk through my neighborhood there where the timeshare is that I bought. I bought that timeshare when I was traveling as a missionary 20 years ago. Don't worry, you didn't pay for it. Some people worry about those things. They get like, you know, oh, rabbi's taking money. Anthony, do I touch the money? All right, praise the Lord. I don't touch the money. Some people they get uppity about it. They think that, you know, I'm sticking preachers, not just me. People think that preachers are sticking their hand in the till. I stay away from it. We have a bookkeeper. Anthony counts it. Then we have a bookkeeper count it. She deposits the money. And then we have an accountant that reconciles everything and gives us reports and does our taxes and everything every year, even though we're a tax-exempt organization. So there's three forms of accountability here. I just want you to know that I stay away from the money except to tag the, make sure things are designated to where they're supposed to go, that they go where they're supposed to go. Okay. Anyway, and it's important for you to know that. Okay. Going on. So we just talked about this sweeping hurricane in Jeremiah 30 until he has performed, verse 24, the fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed, until he has accomplished the intent of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand this. Do you understand it? Does anybody understand why all these judgments are coming? I do. God is using them to kick the Jewish people in the tuchus, the rear end, and make us go home. Okay? He's using it. He's also doing it to get people to repent of their sins. He's trying to get Americans and people all over the world. Crazy things are happening. You can't swim in lakes. People are getting amoebas. You know, and in some places in the country, not here, I haven't heard about it here, but in some places, kids have gone swimming in a lake. They'll end up with a high fever by nighttime, and then the doctors won't know what it is, and there's an amoeba in their brain, and sometimes they're dead the next day. This is going on. There's bird flu, Ebola. There's all these things. There's Lyme disease. When I was a kid, I went running through the marshes of Cape Cod, where all these deer ticks are. I went running through the marshes, playing in the marsh water, playing in the reeds and in the tall grass, barefoot, sneakers, riding through with bicycles, playing, hiding, playing guns, war, you know, with my kids, friends, in the marshes and the salt marshes of Cape Cod. We never worried about deer ticks. Nobody ever got Lyme disease. Today, I wouldn't go in there. You couldn't pay me. You couldn't pay me to walk through those marshes or the tall grass or go into the marsh today. You couldn't pay me to do it. I don't want the mosquitoes have West Nile virus. The mosquitoes have dengue fever. All the things. Whoever thought of these things? We used to live in a time when we didn't lock our doors. I used to ride my bike around all day. I'd go after school. Mom would let me ride my bike. I'd go off with my friends. I'd come home for dinner. She didn't worry. Today, we don't let our kids. Nobody lets their kids just take off all day. You know, they want to know where you are because there's crazy people out there that are You know, it's a crazy world. This world is nuts. Different than the one I grew up in. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let me encourage you. Let's go to verse chapter 31. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. There's the answer. Why is there all that trouble? Because God is going to use the trouble to bring the people, the distress, He's to bring people to Him. There's nothing like distress to call on the Lord, to get you to call on God, right? Nothing like time of distress. When you're in distress, when I'm in distress, I don't know about you, when I'm in distress, I find that if I go to the Psalms and I cry out to God and I worship, that's the best medicine. Amen? So God's saying here, all that trouble's coming so that, but then in that time, all the families of Israel shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. In the Bamidbar, in the desert. The word in the wilderness in your English Bible is the word for the desert. They found grace in the desert. Where is Israel? It's in the desert. God's going to bring His people. Incidentally, last year on September 23rd, right during this season of judgment and grace, the sign of Virgo of Revelation 12 was fulfilled, where Virgo, the virgin, the constellation of Virgo, the woman, the virgin, Revelation 12:1, where she is crowned, she has 12 stars above her head representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and she says she gives birth to the male child, and we're gonna talk about that. That was fulfilled last year on September 23rd. That we're gonna go there, but let's finish here. So verse 2, thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when it went to find its rest, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. Again I will build you, and you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel. Again you will take up your tambourines and go forth to the dances of the merrymakers. And you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. God's going to bring us back. The planters will plant and will enjoy them. For there will be a day when watchmen on the hills of Ephraim call out, arise and let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I'm bringing them from the north country, and I will gather them from the remote parts of the earth. See, I told you, God's using all this trouble and all this judgment to bring His people home. It says it right here in verse 8. Behold, I'm bringing them from the north country, from Russia, and I will gather them from the remote parts of the earth, from America and from California, halfway around the world, from Israel. Among them, the blind and the lame, the woman with child, she who is in labor with child, together a great company. They will return here to Israel. With weeping they will come, and by supplication I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of water on a straight path in which they will not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Listen, nations, goyim, Gentiles. And declare in the coastlands afar off and say, He who scattered Israel, the Jewish people, will gather him and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob. Let me stop here for a second. He talks about Israel and he talks about Jacob. Let me make this very simple. Israel is Jacob and Jacob is Israel. When God says in Isaiah 62, for Zion's sake I will not keep silent, for Jerusalem's sake I will not hold my peace. He's saying the same thing. For Zion's sake, Zion is Jerusalem, and he says, for Jerusalem's sake I will not hold my peace until her brightness goes forth like a blazing torch. So whose brightness? Zion. Whose brightness? Jerusalem. Same thing. He's using two words to say the same thing. So when God's talking here about Israel and about Jacob, he's using them, he's interchanging. What was Jacob the man, what was his name changed to? Israel. So who is Israel? Who is Jacob? There you go. I just simplified it. So all you who think you're Israelites by birth, who can't prove that, you're just playing games with the Bible. I'm just letting you know, okay? Jacob is Israel. Israel is Jacob, and Jacob is the Jewish people. Point blank. Okay. God's going to bring us back, and he's going to use hurricanes, fires, earthquakes, terrorism, economic collapse. He's going to use all these different tools, signs in the heavens, meteorites. You know, remember last year there was the threat. They said there was this star, Nibiru. Everybody say Nibiru. That's the second word for the day. The first one was Mekodonarudo. Can you all say that? Mekodonarudo? That's McDonald's in the Japanese. But Nibiru was this star a year ago. You look it up, Nibiru, N-I-B-I-R-U. That was a dark star. It's like the deep state, the dark star. It's like the Death Star. And it was coming, supposedly it was coming at Earth. The only problem was it was supposed to hit Earth, and it didn't hit. And not only that, the day before, 2 days before it hit, you would have seen it coming because it was so big, you would have seen it with the naked eye, but nobody ever saw it. So it was false. But what did happen, I will tell you, I'll get to that. All right, let's go on here. So with weeping, verse 9, they will come, and by supplication I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of water on a straight path in which they will not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, Ephraim. Hear the Lord, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Listen up, nations. And declare in the coastlands afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob. He's ransomed us. He paid a price for the Jewish people to come home. His son on the cross, he paid the price. And he redeemed him from the hand of him who was stronger. And they will come and shout for joy on the height of Zion, and they will be radiant over the bounty. You know, here's an example of this. Before 1989... the Jewish people were prisoners in Russia and the Soviet Union. We were held prisoners until the wall came down in 1989. You know that? When I was growing up as a boy, we had fundraisers every year. We had to pay $1,000 for a Jew. We had to pay the Soviet Union $1,000 to get a Jew out. They bribed us. So the Jewish people would have fundraisers called Combined Jewish Philanthropies was the organization, and we would have a phone bank. And every year, this time of year, we'd get together, and I used to go as a kid, and I would make phone calls asking for donations, and it would cost $1,000 to pay for a Jew in my lifetime to get a Jew out of the Soviet Union. And they only limited it to like 20 or 30 or like 50,000 or 100,000 a year. They limited how many Jews. There were millions of us. They limited how many they would let out. Why didn't they let us out? They like money. Putin and the Soviet Union, they really like money. Why wouldn't they let us out? Any thoughts? Brain drain. Brain drain. All your mathematicians, all your scientists, all your doctors, your best doctors, your brilliant minds, your philosophers, your teachers, your professors, we're Jews. If you let all the Jews go, then what's going to happen to all your scientists, your nuclear scientists, who came up with Einstein, the theory of relativity. Amen. Who invented nuclear? Was it Einstein, Don? It was Einstein. Jew. Jew. So imagine all the, you know, Hitler killed 6 million of us. Imagine what the world might have happened, the diseases that might have been cured. Imagine the wonderful things that may have been, you know, it was a Jew who cured polio. Dr. Jonas Salk was a Jew who invented the cure for polio. Imagine what perished in the Holocaust, what might have happened in the world had those people lived. Okay, let's go on. Verse 12, for they will come and shout for joy in the height of Zion. They will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain and the new wine and the oil, over the young of the flock and the herd, and their life will be like a watered garden. They will never languish again. Well, it sounds like a song. And the virgin will rejoice in the dance. By the way, we dance because the Bible says to. And the young men and the old men together, and I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. I will fill the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. And I'm going to stop there for a second. It goes on, and you can read chapter 30, but let's go in 31. But let's go back to chapter 30 for a second. In verse 10, God says... Let's start in verse 4. Now these are the words which the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. If that's not the Jewish people, I don't know who is. For thus says the Lord, I have heard a sound of terror, of dread, and there is no peace. This is chapter 30 of Jeremiah, verse 5 and 6. Ask now and see if a male can give birth. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in childbirth? Where do we see that today? We saw it in Luke 21. It says, and men will be perplexed at the roaring of the waves, and they will be holding their bellies with fear, and terror will come upon them. And here we see it again. And it doesn't say in Luke, it doesn't say Jewish men. It says men. Okay? Why do I see every man? It doesn't just say Jewish men. It says, well, every man with his hands on his loins is a woman in childbirth. Why have all faces turned pale? Alas, for the day is great, there is none like it, and it's the time of Jacob's distress. But he will be saved from it. Wow, Jacob's distress, Jacob's trouble. The time of Jacob's trouble will come. Was it the Holocaust? Was it the 7 years of the Holocaust? Or will there be another time of Jacob's trouble? And if so, I want to get to Revelation, because this gives a lot of answers in Revelation 12. But it shall become come about in verse 8, on that day declares the Lord of hosts that I will break his yoke from off their neck and will tear off their bonds, and strangers will no longer make the Jews their slaves, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, for whom I will raise up for them. Fear not. Listen here, people. Listen. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, declares the Lord. And do not be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your offspring from the land of their captivity, and Jacob will return and be quiet and at ease, and no one will make him afraid. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to save you, for I will destroy completely all the nations where I have scattered you. Wow. God says he's going to destroy all the nations where he scattered the Jewish people. I'm Jewish, and I'm in Virginia. What country is this? United States. Okay, so what country is going to be destroyed? The USA. All right? That's just one of many, of all countries, where the Jews have been scattered. Don't blame the Jews. This is God talking. For thus, he says, for I will destroy completely all the nations where I have scattered you, only I will not destroy you completely. But I will chasten you justly and will by no means leave you unpunished. For thus says the Lord, your wound is incurable and your injury is serious. There is no one to plead your cause, no healing for your sore, no recovery for you. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the punishment of a cruel one, because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. But then God says, verse 16, therefore all who devour you will be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, will go into captivity. And those who plunder you will be for plunder. And all who prey upon you I will give for prey. For I will restore you to health. I will heal you. This is God's promise to the Jewish people. I will restore you to health. I will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord. Because they have called you an outcast, saying, it is Zion. No one cares for her. See, God is turning away from the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles is coming to an end, and he's turning back his attention to the Jewish people, to the nation of Israel. And if you're sensitive to the times, you'll understand that, what he's doing. And he's saying that he's going to turn back and restore Israel. He says it right here in chapter 30 of Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will restore the fortunes of the tents of Jacob and have compassion on his dwelling places. And the city will be rebuilt. And he goes on with all these wonderful promises. But then he goes on in verse 23. He says, behold, the hurricane of the Lord, the wrath has gone forth. So he goes from restoration to hurricane. And in the latter days, you'll understand it. The judgment has gone forth to cause the Jewish people to leave the nations, and any Christian or Gentile who's smart enough to see what God's doing will want to go with the Jewish people. And Zechariah 8:23 says, behold, in that day, 10 people from the nations... Ten people from the nations will take hold of the fringe or the hem of a Jew and say, take us with you, for we've heard God is with you. Zechariah 8:23. This is the time to connect with the Jewish people. If Israel is the only nation that's not going to be destroyed, the way out is to hang out with the Jewish people. When Yeshua, Jesus, was with the woman at the well, he said, salvation is from the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. Why did God keep us? Why am I standing here in Virginia? If Jesus was the end of all prophecy, why do you still need Jews? Why did God send me here to start a Messianic Jewish congregation? Well, first of all, Romans chapter, I think it's Romans 3 or 2, it says, for God, the oracles of God were entrusted to the Jewish people. Is there any value in being a Jew? He says, much in every way. For the oracles of God, the words of God, were entrusted to the Jewish people. So if you want to understand, how many of you have thought that Noah's Ark landed on the 17th month, on the 26th of this month? How many people, not just you here, but watching on TV, how many of you ever thought that Noah's Ark landed on the 26th of this month? Did you know that? Did you know that the angel Gabriel visited Mary in the sixth month, and it wasn't June, it was last month? In Luke chapter 1, that the angel Gabriel visited, you know, because I've taught you, but folks watching online may not know, if you read Luke 1, that the angel Gabriel visited Miriam in the sixth month. And it's not talking about June. The sixth month is before the seventh. We're in the seventh month. So the sixth month would correspond to August or early September. So this Bible that I'm reading is a 2,000 to 4,000-year-old Middle Eastern document written originally in Hebrew, then translated first into Greek, and possibly Aramaic, and then Latin, and then every other language under the sun, Spanish, English, French, German, you name it, it was translated. It was first printed in English by Tyndale, printed it. This is an ancient Middle Eastern document. You cannot read it when it says the sixth month or the seventh month and just assume it applies to June, July, or August. You have to understand certain things in context. Everybody say context. Okay, so now let's go to Revelation Are you going to celebrate these feasts? Zechariah 14:16. I remember I said there's a feast coming up, the third feast, Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. This book teaches on it. I told you you can get it for a love gift. We'll send it to you for a love gift of $25. We'll send it to you. It says in Zechariah 14:16, then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations who went against Jerusalem, they will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to celebrate the Feast of Booths, which is the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the feast that comes, that starts in about 10 days, that we're going to be celebrating with. Go to our website. We're going to be celebrating it. On Facebook, I've advertised it. If you scroll down on my Facebook page, those who are watching, you'll see it advertised, Sukkot in the Mountains. That feast is the feast that Jesus celebrated in John 7 when he came up in the middle of the feast and he said, on the great last and greatest day of the feast, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. That was Yeshua, Jesus, celebrating Sukkot. Here in Zechariah 14, it says it'll come about, verse 16, that all who are left from the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to celebrate the Feast of Booths, that's Sukkot. And it will be that whichever of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain. In other words, whoever survives and lives into the millennium when the Lord comes back, after he comes back to save Israel from the attack of all the nations in Zechariah 12 through 14, well, he's saying that every nation, all the survivors are going to come up and celebrate Sukkot. That's the holiday that we're having with New Life Baptist Church. You can come and celebrate it with us here in Bristol and Bluff City. You can learn about it. Just go to my website, www.forzionsake.org, www.forzionsake.org. You can get information. Come learn about the feast. Praise God. You're going to be doing it. Okay, turn to Revelation 12, and I'm going to bring it home. Revelation 12. This has all happened in the last year. Okay, in verse 1. Revelation 12. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor, in pain to give birth. Okay? And this was a sign in heaven. Everybody say a sign in heaven. Do you know that that sign was fulfilled last year on September 23rd? During the days of awe, during the 10 days that we're in right now of judgment, it was last year. And this is what happened. the Virgin, Virgo, the constellation Virgo, is a woman, and she was in the heavens, and you could see her. And on September 23rd, the woman Virgo with Leo above her, the lion constellation was above her, 9 stars and 3 planets, and the 3 planets above her were Mercury, Venus, and Mars, combined with 9 stars to form the constellation Leo the lion, which represents the 12 tribes of Israel. It says it right there. 12 stars were above her. Okay, she had a crown of 12 stars. She was crowned with a lion. And it says the sun, I was studying it. The sun was over her left shoulder, clothing her in light. It says in verse 1, a woman clothed with the sun, clothing her in sunlight. And Jupiter was sitting inside her belly for 9 months. You can go back and look at this. Jupiter, look at the fulfillment. Just Google when you get home the fulfillment of Revelation 12:1. You'll read about it. This is what I'm reading to you is from a secular, it's from the History Channel. Okay, some secular thing. And they saw the prophecy fulfilled. Jupiter was in the belly of Virgo for 9 months. How long is a baby in the belly? 9 months. And she, it says in verse 2, and she was with child, and she cried out being in labor. Well, do you know on September 23rd, Jupiter moved down through her loins from her belly and came out. That same day, Jupiter came out of the woman as if like a baby. How do you like that? That was 1 year ago on September 23rd. In this season of judgment and repentance and grace. Repentance, see, grace always comes with repentance. Amen? Grace always comes with repentance. And so Jupiter was born, came through like a baby at 9 months. All this took place during the days of awe, the day after Rosh Hashanah last year. Gosh, this is not, I can't make this stuff up, people. So Revelation 12 appears to be in heavy fulfillment. So conclusion, now, I just want to say before I conclude, one thing. I learned something. You know how God's going to judge Israel? How Satan's going to judge Israel? Satan's going to attack Israel. You know what he's going to do? The world will attack Israel with bombs, and the world will attack Israel, the nations, with guns and soldiers and bombs and missiles and rockets, okay? But you know how Satan's going to attack Israel? We're in Revelation 12. Turn towards the end of the chapter, and you go to verse 14. But the two wings of the great eagle... Now, John the Revelator saw this great eagle with two wings. What do you think he saw? And it says the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, that's Israel, so that she could fly into the wilderness. Did Mary fly? If the woman who gave birth to the middle... See, this chapter talks about a woman. And sometimes it talks about the woman as Mary, but other times it talks about her things that Mary didn't do. Okay? And one of the things Mary didn't do was fly. Does anybody remember Mary in the Bible, in the Gospels, flying? Flying Mary? I remember the flying nun. What was it, Sally Field? She was the flying nun. But Mary, the first, according to probably the Catholic Church, was probably the first nun. She didn't fly. I guess she didn't earn her wings, right? But it says here, look here. Chapter 12, verse 14, but the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place. Remember, the word wilderness is desert, where she was nourished for a time, times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Who's the serpent? Satan. How do we know that? If we go back to let's see, verse 9, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. Who is the serpent? And the great dragon was thrown down, verse 9, and the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. So let's go back to Revelation 12, 14. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman is Israel, so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. That's Satan. And the serpent, Satan, poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman. We've just had three floods. Now, this is very interesting here. Stop for a second. The woman was given an airplane to fly into the desert. We just had a woman in our congregation who got her jet pilot career going, right? We've got a woman in our congregation who's a jet pilot. I've been saying for 20 years that this woman, who happens to be my wife, is going to fly Jewish people and Christians into the wilderness, into the desert of Israel. I've been saying it for 20 years. How many of you have heard me say it for many years? Raise your hand if you've heard me say that my wife, that Dawn's going to fly people back to Israel, right? It's coming. She's flying again. It's coming soon. Let's read on. But the two wings of the great eagle. So verse 15, and the serpent poured water. This is so wild. God showed me this last week, that the world attacks the Jewish people with guns, with tanks, with planes, with missiles, with rockets, with bombs. But Satan attacks the Jews with water. Squirt gun. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman. Do you notice we have three floods? Our fellowship hall has been destroyed. I mean, all that's left, it's standing. The sink is not where it was. The water heater's been replaced. I'm spending thousands of dollars to put a special drain behind the building on Wednesday next week. Thousands. To keep it from getting. Wendell came in this week with Fred and me, and we spackled every crack in the wall that we could find. We spackled with waterproofing, a sealant, and then we painted over it with dry lock, which is a waterproof paint that seals out water. We made a boat. We turned our fellowship hall into a boat, essentially. We sealed it, hoping that when the hurricane comes, because we won't have the drain in, that when the hurricane comes, the water won't get into the building. We hope we got our fellowship hall, which is torn apart, just absolutely torn apart. So if you can contribute to help us, if anybody can make a contribution, please help our building fund. We're going to be spending, we've spent already $1,000, and we're going to be spending spending $3,500 this week for the drain, to fix the drainage. Then we have to rebuild the wall. Then we have to put down flooring. So I'm figuring $6,000 to $7,000 total to rebuild the wall. And we do have several thousand dollars. Thank God. We've saved several thousand. But we're going to need help. Okay? All right. So let's go on. Verse 15, and the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth. So we are a woman who's become a pilot, who's planning to fly Jewish people back to Israel in our congregation. And we've had three floods. And we haven't even had a hurricane yet. We've had three floods in our fellowship hall. How does Satan attack the Jews? Water. And like a river out of his mouth, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. He's trying to get rid of us. He's trying to destroy us, people. Look at your neighbor and say, he's trying to destroy us. Look around you. He's trying to destroy us. Amen? He's not going to succeed, though. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children, that those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So the dragon was enraged with the woman, with Israel, and he went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold. That's the Messianic Jews and the Messianic non-Jews. Amen? The Messianics. We're the ones who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, right? That's us. That's me. Praise God. Okay, so I'm going to stop there for a second. Now I'm going to conclude. What is God doing? Well, the rabbis and God tell us in Leviticus 23 that the feasts are reminders of the Exodus from Egypt. 1 Corinthians 10 warns Christians to look at the Exodus as a pattern for the last days. Before I say what I think is going on, pestilence, signs in the heavens, earthquakes, hurricanes, men perplexed by the raging of the waves, disease, crazy things happening, amoebas in lakes, sharks in rivers, sharks killing people, bull sharks going up in the Ohio River, crazy, Mississippi River, sharks, bull sharks, that can survive in fresh water. They found them up in Ohio. This is nuts. I have to say that most pastors and a lot of Messianic rabbis wave their heads, keep their heads buried in the sand. Not all, but a lot of pastors and Messianic rabbis, they're afraid to talk about these things. They don't talk about them. They just avoid prophecy, and the sheep are not fed. Turn to Jeremiah 23:1. They don't tell you. I'm going to tell you what's going on. Or Ezekiel 34. Here I am, Ezekiel 34. This is what God has to say to the shepherds who don't feed their flock. You know, in 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, in the last days, men will go, they won't listen to sound doctrine, but they'll want people to tickle their ears. In 2 Timothy 4, it says, in the last days, men will not listen to sound doctrine, but they'll want to hear people to tickle their ears. And the many will perish because of they want ear tickling. They don't want to hear stuff like this. Ezekiel 34, 1 and 2. Then came the word of the Lord, saying to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast. And God has a judgment for the shepherds who do not feed the flock and take care of the flock. Amen? And that's all shepherds, rabbis and pastors. But let me just say this. That's a warning to the pastors who aren't feeding their sheep. I'm going to tell you something, people. I know some folks believe that a rapture is coming, and I always say this. I hope you're right, but hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. I personally think we're going to be here for a while, and I believe that the Jewish people are the key, the Messianic Jews, prophetically. We are the key to helping the Christians get out, because who's God going to take? The woman. He's going to fly the woman. The woman is Israel. He's going to fly her back into the wilderness of Israel. Remember Jeremiah 30? What nation was going to survive out of all the nations that are destroyed when the Lord comes? Israel. Where do you want to be when judgment comes, when God destroys the nations? Where do you want to be? You want to be in America? Canada? Belize? Israel. You want to be, I'd want to be in Israel. Maybe you want to be where the nations are going to be destroyed. Read it, Jeremiah 30. I'm not making this up. Starting in verse 10. God says he will destroy all nations. Zechariah 8:23. Take hold of the fringe of a Jew. Not just any Jew, a prophetic Jew, a messianic Jewish leader. Take hold of the fringe of a Jew. Its Bible says, for we've heard God is with you. Take us with you. We'll take any Christians that want to go. Ezekiel 47:21. Read it. Read it. There's going to be an exodus. There's an exodus coming with planes, with ships, with boats. Carnival Cruise Lines is an Israeli cruise line who have said, if there's ever trouble for the Jewish people, Jews are being persecuted in Paris and Israel and France. They're leaving France. Jews anti-Semitism is up in America. Jews are starting to leave the United States. They're going to leave in big numbers. You're going to see violence toward Jews. You're going to see violence in the streets, bloodshed, political bloodshed, left versus right. You're going to see all that stuff. You're going to see cell groups, terrorist cell groups rise up, bombings, crazy people shooting, even people with no agenda, just nutcases going up into hotels with tons of guns and shooting crowds of people at concerts. Whether it's political or not, you're going to see you see crazy things happening in the coming days. And it's all God saying, if you read Jeremiah 30 and 31, to get the Jewish people and his people who are believers, Christians, who have ears to hear and see the handwriting on the wall, to go home to Israel. And you say to me, Rabbi Joe, we're not allowed to go to Israel. And I say to you, God is there anything too difficult for God? Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth. Is there anything too difficult for thee? With God, all things are possible. Only believe, and you'll go to Israel. But you've got to be connected to the Messianic Jews. You must be connected to the Messianic Jews, and you must be connected to the right ones. I'm telling you, you've got to be connected. I'm not saying leave your churches. If God's calling you to come here, fine. But I'm just saying connect with the Messianic Jews. If God, you know, pray for them, support Messianic ministry, help them. We've got a flood. We need help. Help us. Help the Messianic congregation in Wilmington or the one in Myrtle Beach, you know, that may need help after the flood. I don't know what's going on with them, with their buildings. I don't know yet. But help them. Be like the Roman centurion who built the synagogue in Capernaum in Luke chapter 7 and support, help the Messianic Jews. Pray for them. Volunteer. We have Christians come and put our newsletter together. We need intercessors. We need intercessors. Come be an intercessor for us. Pray with us. Stand shoulder to shoulder with us. And if you can support the work, support the work. We need your support. We do. And if God's calling you to come, there's a room full of Christians here who have joined with the Messianic Jews. You don't have to be Jewish. The temple had a court of the Gentiles. I once had a pastor tell me Christians shouldn't be Messianic. Well, why did the temple have a court of the Gentiles? If Christians shouldn't be Messianic, why did the temple have a court of the Gentiles? He couldn't answer that. Anyway, that's the way out. God has grace. He has a way out. He has grace in the wilderness for the Jewish people and for the Gentiles, the Christians who join with us. There is a way out. Now, I'm offering you a way out, and some people believe that the rapture is the way out. There's two ways. One's true. I can't twist your arm. I'm not going to hogtie you and throw you in the back of a trunk. It's up to you what you believe. But I believe there's an exodus coming. I've taught on it. I believe that there's planes. It's going to be a physical exodus back to Israel. Please rise. I want to bless you. Thank you for listening. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you should put my blessing upon the people. Yivarechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'ir Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. Hallelujah. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua. Shabbat shalom. I just want to say two last things. Tuesday night service at 6:30 here. And I forget the second thing, but God bless you. Greet one another. Tuesday night, Yom Kippur service, 6:30. Wednesday night, 6:30, we have breakfast and service. Shabbat shalom.